Hi, I'm Rebecca Mickey, Children's Sleep Consultant, and welcome to the Sleep and Regressions Bundle. Regressions are something that every single child goes through at different ages and different stages. And in this bundle, we're looking at when we can expect your child to go through a regression, why they're going through that regression, what the regression looks like, as well as how we can work on getting back on track as quickly as possible. So let's get started.
So let's take a look at regressions and how they're going to impact sleep. So what is a regression? A regression is changes that happens when changes are occurring with our children, and as they're going through these developmental stages and learning these new things, they can take an effect on sleep. So as you notice that your child is maybe physically learning things, to be crawling, standing, getting to sitting, rolling over, that these can actually have an impact on sleep. This is really easy for us to tell. As we're getting more cognitive development, more brain development, that's actually trickier for us to see because we can't really necessarily see what's going on. We're going to be looking at the different ages as well as the different stages. So what actually it is that they're learning. So that's going to help us figure out when your child is going to be having these regressions, because every child does develop at their own rate. And though we can say, yes, that we're going to have a regression around this time and around this time, as each child is developing at their own rate, they are going to be having, they're going through their own stages. And so it may look a little bit different. So we're not just looking at the age, we're looking at what's actually happening as well, so that you can see what kind of impact that is going to be having on your child's sleep. So when do the regressions happen? These are the main regressions that we have. There's a 4-month sleep regression, an 8-month regression, 12-month, 18-month, and a 2-year-old sleep regression. And some of these are trickier than others. They're all most certainly challenging, but some of them are trickier than others. Some of them last longer than others. So we are actually going to be looking through as to figuring out which ones are going to be the easiest ones to go through, which ones are the trickiest ones, exactly what to be looking at. So let's get started. Looking at the 4-month sleep regression. This one I think is really hard because our children go through a very big shift with their sleep at around 12 weeks of age. And they go from newborn sleep, which happens before 12 weeks, to then actually going through adult sleep cycles. The same ones that you and I go through, but they are much shorter than ours. But they are going through the same sleep cycles as we do. And so we can notice then at around 12 weeks that sleep can really dramatically change. We can have children who are challenging sleepers become easier sleepers. We can have easy sleepers become more challenging sleepers, or things can kind of stay the same. But it's generally once we've got through this 12-week mark, it's actually 52 weeks from conception. So depending on whether your child is born early or whether they're born late will depend on when they start to go through this transition. But that's when we start getting some better sleep. We're out of that real infant newborn stage and your child is beginning to get that little bit older, and we may be noticing some longer chunks of sleep during the night, which is great, which is awesome. That's what we want. And then boom, we get into the 4-month sleep regression. And what the 4-month sleep regression is waking more often during the night. So if your child had been sleeping for 3-4 hours stretches, you may notice that you're back down to kind of 2 to 1 hour stretches, that you've gone right back down. Naps can get shorter as well, whereas you may be noticing that your naps were beginning to develop and you were getting some good naps in there, that they actually get shorter as well. And then actually getting to sleep for naps and at the beginning of the night can actually be tricky. So it's just affecting absolutely everything. And this one is a really tough one. I really think it is. And I think it's really tough because when we have a newborn, we know we're going to be tired. We know that. We know we're going to get many wake-ups. And then you're kind of teased when you're beginning to see that things are getting a little bit better. And you're getting those longer stretches. And you're beginning to feel a little more human again. And then it can just seem to, you regress. You're going back to what seems to be infant sleep cycles again. And that's really, really tough. I think it hits you more when you suddenly go back to it. Then when you're kind of prepared with a newborn, you're just kind of prepared for it. But then when you've been getting that better sleep, it really does really hit you when you suddenly find that you're going back into this regression. This regression is due to cognitive development. So it's due to things that they're learning in their brain. And so there is actually a lot going on. Your child is beginning to be a little bit more aware of their surroundings, and you'll be able to tell this. They're also becoming more aware that they are actually a separate being from you. So there is a lot going on cognitively now. And so during their awake time, they're working on things. And so this can impact their nighttime sleep. They kind of work on it, what they're learning as well. Wake-up times are generally beginning to get a little bit longer at this stage, but you may need to make them a little bit shorter again. So they may have just been beginning to stretch out, but because we're having those much shorter naps, the shorter hour nap, the shorter hour awake period. So if your child was napping 2 hours and now they're napping for an hour and a half or an hour, you may actually be able to keep your wake-up time the same, but if they're going back to those 30-minute naps, or they never even stretch those out and you're sticking with your 30-minute naps, you may want to keep your awake time a little bit shorter, whereas you're having hour and a half maximum. Because the more your child sleeps during the day, the better, easier time they're going to have at night. If your child is getting those really short naps, then that means that come the end of the day, they are going to be really tired, and that's going to mean that it's harder for them to be falling asleep. So trying to sort of be working on just getting as much sleep as you possibly can at this stage is really helpful, because that is going to then help your nighttime sleep. Because what we run the risk of doing when we're going through any regression is then trying to manage overtiredness. With overtiredness comes overstimulation. And overtiredness, the child will struggle to fall asleep and remain asleep. And so we really want to make sure that we're actually helping them get some sleep, so that they can be getting more sleep. I wouldn't worry if you know that you're going through a regression. I wouldn't worry about trying to set up good habits at this point. You most certainly can be doing so. But if your child is needing more physical help getting to sleep, it's better actually that they get some sleep than you trying to get them to get the sleep more independently. So do just try during the day giving them that extra help as and when you can is going to mean that you have a better night. This regression, some people say it never ends. It does. It does end. They do stop learning what it is. They do perfect what they're cognitively learning now, that the being more independent, they do learn this. But what people struggle with is that this age is a stage where your child is learning a lot, and you'll see that. And if you're giving lots and lots and lots of help to help your child get to sleep, this is when they're learning that's how they then get to sleep. That will then be how they get back to sleep. So remember, it's normal for humans to wake between 2 and 6 times a night. And so if your child is needing that help to get to sleep and to get back to sleep every time, that has the potential of being 6 times a night. And it doesn't take too long for things to become a new habit. As we get past 3 nights, that's when we begin to see a new habit forming. It doesn't mean that a new habit is formed. The longer past a week that we get of things happening, then we're definitely getting into a new habit being formed. And habits do need to be broken. So we'll talk a little further on about managing the regressions, because we're doing it all exactly the same way regardless of which regression we're going through. We are managing it the exact same way. So I will be getting to that. So that's our 4-month sleep regression. The next one that we get is around 8 months, but it can sometimes be 9 or 10 months of age. This one is more physical. And so it depends when your child is beginning to move. And so that could be really with crawling. So really, it could be happening as young as 6 months of age if you have a 6-month-old who's beginning to crawl, or it could be much, much later. So this one is basically more to do with the physical development. That's the really big thing that is going on right now, because your child is beginning to move. That in turn leads to separation anxiety. Because as your child is beginning to move and they're learning all about what that means, that when you move and you go out of sight, they know what that means. That it's physically moving and you physically removed yourself from being right there with them. And then they can get anxious because they can no longer see you. And so you can be dealing with this separation anxiety. So that comes from the physical development. There is cognitive development as well going on right now. As you can imagine, we have the physical, what they're physically doing, physically getting stronger, being able to crawl. But then the cognitive, what even it means to be able to crawl, to roll around. There's a lot of cognitive going on as well. So when we have these three things happening, this sleep regression can be tough, can be really tough. And one of the reasons is because it can last a long time. It can last 2 or 3 months, which makes this one really, really tricky because obviously new habits are being formed. They most certainly are. With this one as well, we'll also get some teething thrown in. So that begins to happen around 6 months. And so some children teething, it does not bother them whatsoever. For other children, it really, really bothers them. And so that may be thrown in there as well and just makes this regression a little trickier. So there's some things that we most certainly can be doing to be helping with this, which is a little bit different than how we're managing the regression, those nights when we're up and we're with our child. So what we want to be doing with this regression is making sure that your child is having plenty of playtime in their sleep space, whether that's in your bed or the crib or in their bed, wherever that is, but they get plenty of playtime and plenty of awake time there every single day. When they're learning these new things, they kind of need to perfect them before they no longer feel that desire to do it all the time. Because you may notice if your child is learning to stand, you pop them in the crib and they would normally have just rolled over and go to sleep. But now when they're learning to stand, they get up and stand. They may actually get stuck there because they don't actually have not learned how to get themselves back down. But they can just stand up and you can lay them down and they just stand up. So if the only time they ever get to perfect the new thing that they're learning is at the beginning of the night, at nap time or in the during the night, that is when they are going to do it. So we want to make sure that they have plenty of playtime in the crib every single day so that they can work on that. So if your child's working on crawling around, then just pop them in, let them crawl around. If they get stuck, you can kind of move them out of the corner and let them crawl around some more. So just helping them out that way, letting them to perfect this. If they're getting to that standing stage where they're able to pull themselves up, which comes very shortly after crawling, as I say, the learning to sit down actually does come later. So what you can do is they stand up, unclasp their hands and sit them back down. And if they just stand back straight back up, that's fine. And then, but you're showing them by unclasping their hands and sitting them back down that this is how they can get down rather than picking them up and laying them down. We don't want them thinking that that's the only way that they can get down is with your help. We want to be sitting them back down and that's how they're going to get themselves back down. They're going to sit back down. And you can do this as just part of your playtime. Just them sitting them back down, sending them up, sending them back down, just so that they're really perfecting this. This will actually speed up the regression a little bit because once they've perfected it, they don't feel that desire to do it quite as much. But you're still gonna have the regression. We've got a lot of other things going on. The separation anxiety, the cognitive development as well, will certainly impact the nighttime sleep as well. So 8 month or 9 month sleep regression. This is, if you didn't necessarily notice the 4 month one, you're probably going to notice this one. As I say, there's a lot going on here. And then we get into our 12 month sleep regression. So we've barely had time to come out of our 9 month, 8 month, 9 month sleep regression. And then we're straight back into another one. This one is not as bad and it is much shorter lived. You'll be glad to hear. So we mainly notice this one at nap time, that you may struggle to be getting your child down for a nap. A lot of times people are then confusing that with the need for reducing down to one nap, because we do see some children who are around 12 months old who do need to drop down to one nap. Normally it's between 12 and 18 months, with the average being at around 15 months. So it isn't necessarily the case. If your child is now struggling to fall asleep at nap time, this could well be the regression. Oftentimes when we're looking to see about dropping down to one nap, we're looking for other factors. Obviously, struggling to fall asleep for a nap is one of those, but we're also looking for struggling to fall asleep at the beginning of the night and beginning to wake earlier and earlier in the morning. Those are signs that we're ready to drop down to one nap. Just struggling to fall asleep for the nap time is not necessarily that. And once your child is asleep, oftentimes they'll do fine. They will actually get their normal nap, but getting them down can be a real struggle, which makes our day look a little bit different than it normally would. One of the reasons is that if it's taking us much longer, your child has taken much longer falling asleep, but they're napping normally, our day is pushed. And so that means that our nighttime can get tricky, because our nighttime has been pushed because it's taken them an extra, on their 2-3-4 routine, but they've taken an extra hour onto the day to be keeping up with our four. We need to then be going to bed later. So that can make things a little bit tricky. And oftentimes if your child's naps are short, and that does sometimes happen, if the naps are short, then they may well get overtired. And then that is going to affect their nighttime sleep. So remember, if you are on that 2-3-4, you can always add in a third cat nap to keep you going, keep your day going. So if we have had much shorter naps, then what we'll notice is we have our short nap and then our day is just much shorter, because rather than having 3 hours total nap time sleep, we may only have an hour total nap time sleep. And so going to bed is much earlier. You can add a cat nap into that 4 hour stretch at the end of the day. You can add a little cat nap in there. What that is going to do is going to help your child catch up on sleep a little bit more, and it's going to stretch your day back out again as you need to. You may actually struggle with that third cat nap, but I would just still have that as kind of a timeout. That cat nap is one that you're going to need to give your child much more help with, and that may be where you are going to pop them in the stroller, pop them in the carrier, where you know that they're actually going to sleep well. Just a little bit of a nap. It doesn't need to be long, just long enough to keep them going until bedtime. We don't necessarily need to make up to that 3 hours with that cat nap. If your child has had 2 30-minute naps, and to get to that 3 hours, we would need a 2 hour nap. The longer the nap, the longer the awake time. So if they then fell asleep at 4 and got 2 hours of nap, you're going to need 4 hours of wake time. And so then it's going to be a 10 o'clock bedtime, and that's probably just going to be too late. So that catnap does need to be just long enough to keep you going until bedtime. So don't be afraid to introduce this again as you need to do so. And you can always do this if ever you get a day because of illness or teething or something like that, that you get a day where you're... naps are just gone wonky. You can always add in that cat nap, but your child is going to need extra help with that. They may have dropped that cat nap at around 7 or 8 months, and so they are going to need some extra help, and that will be holding them in the stroller, in the car seat, or in the carrier will be fine. So that's our 12-month one. Doesn't last very long, normally just a week or two as well. So that's good. After we've sort of done that recovery after our 8-9 month sleep regression, we do not need another long one. The next one, we've got a little bit of time now between our 12-month and then we have our 18-month sleep regression. And this is where things start getting interesting. We're not dealing with infants anymore. We're dealing with little children who are quite opinionated. They know what they want to do and what they don't want to do. And at this stage, they are really exerting their independence. They want to do everything themselves, from feeding themselves, to brushing their teeth, to brushing their hair, to getting themselves clothed, to trying to strap themselves into the car seat. They want to do everything themselves. And resisting sleep is one of these things that they may actually be doing. exerting their independence. And so this certainly makes things tricky. With everything, life with a toddler is kind of slow, a little bit slower, because you could just quickly get your child dressed in just a couple of minutes. It may take your child 20 minutes to do so. But obviously we want them to practice, we want them to work on these things, because these are important skills that they're learning. But we don't necessarily want our nighttime sleep getting messed up. We know that your child does still need to be getting a decent amount of sleep at this time. We don't want them to be missing too much because they are exerting their independence. I'll talk a little bit about night sleep and then move on to naps, because they kind of do different things with each of these. So with a night sleep, I so often hear from parents that what suddenly happened was their child was really fighting falling asleep, and it was taking them a really long time. But parents have been consistent with their bedtime because they know that their child is tired at that point. And they're really, really resisting. So what they're doing is the parents are going into the room, and there it could either be getting into bed with their child. Sometimes parents are getting into the crib, or they're getting into the bed, or they're just being there, being very much a presence. They could be patting their child's back. They could be rubbing their back. And this then becomes the new habit. And with an 18-month-old, a new habit does not take as long for your child to pick up on something and want that all the time. It really doesn't take very long at all. The breaking habit part is always still the same. The learning that something new is always the same. But we now have an opinionated toddler who quite likes having mummy or daddy come and sit with them and pat them on the back as they fall asleep. And as well, they're getting very good at trying to manipulate the situation, that they know what they can try doing to get you to do what it is that they want. And so sometimes we do let things slip when it comes to bedtime, because you know your child is tired. We're exhausted. And so I just need you to get to sleep. And so, okay, I'll just do this, because it means that your child is going to get back down to sleep, get to sleep quicker. And then you try not to do it the next night, but your toddler is like, hang on a minute, what happened last night was great, I loved that. And so you think, okay, we'll just do it again tonight, until you're doing it more and more and more, and you're doing it all the time. And that's when things can get really tricky. We do not necessarily want to be doing this all the time with night times, because it can then creep to during the night. So even if your child had been sleeping great, they're still waking between 2 and 6 times a night, completely normal for everybody to wake. But now if your child is used to having somebody there and they can only fall back asleep whilst their back is being rubbed, you're going to need to go in and do that between 2 and 6 times a night to help them back down to sleep. And that's when it's more of a problem. It really is. So we need to be firm but fair when it comes to the 18-month sleep regression. That there are some things that are negotiable, and there certainly are. Within our bedtime. But there are some parts that are non-negotiable. So the things that are negotiable are, you can choose to take whichever stuffed animal you would like to take into bed with you. You can choose which book you would like me to read you. You can choose the songs that I'm going to sing you. You can choose the pajamas that you're going to wear. You can choose the toothbrush. You can choose the toothpaste. You can choose whether mummy or daddy walks you up the stairs. You can choose whether we pretend to be elephants or mice as we walk up the stairs. So many options. So many things are negotiable. But one thing that is not negotiable is that the way your child is falling asleep. That is something that is non-negotiable. And you're not being mean by not giving in to them. There are some things that are non-negotiable. Getting strapped into your car seat, that is something that we would not negotiate on. We wouldn't move the car if your child is not strapped in. Brushing teeth is another thing that we do not negotiate on. This has to be done. We are brushing teeth, we are strapping into the car, and the falling asleep at this age is something as well that needs to be non-negotiable. We are negotiating with so many other things, but this is one of the things that we are not going to negotiate on. And it may be that you are going to, okay, Daddy can put you down to bed and he's going to stay in for 3 minutes. But then you have to be, whatever your boundaries are, you need to stick with them. So if you feel that your child does want that little bit of extra help, be strict with that extra help. What does that extra help look like? Is it, I'm just going to stay in for 10 back rubs, 10 back pats. I'm going to stay in for 2 minutes and then I'm out. But you want to be strict. Don't start doing things if your child is healthy and they're well that you then may think that you will get stuck with, because a toddler will know exactly what to do to kind of get you to do exactly what it is that they want, especially when it comes to bedtime. And this is when we are a little bit more letting things slip. Whereas even before, we may have not negotiated on bedtime. When you've been running around after a toddler all day, you are exhausted and you just want your child to go down to sleep. And so that's why things start slipping at this point. And so that's our nights. A nap strike is really common as well at this age. So a nap strike is where your child had been napping great and they'd been down to one nap, maybe doing a great, they were getting 2 hours of nap, and now when you're putting them into bed, they just won't go to sleep. And obviously, 18 months, they need to have a nap. They're nowhere near ready to drop their nap, but they just refuse to nap. And maybe they're quite happy just to hang out in their bed for a while. And that's more often what a nap strike looks like, where your child is quite happy and they're quite happy just to hang out in there. They may be playing with their stuffed animals. They may be allowed to look at some books. They're quite happy, but they're not sleeping, which means then that when you get them up, maybe after what would have been a nap time, an hour, hour and a half, 40 minutes, however you want to do it, that when you get them up, they are then crazy tired later in the day because they've not napped. And so you may notice that come 4 o'clock, that is not a good time of day with a toddler who has not napped. Remember, is wanting to be crazy independent here and is now dealing with really, really overtiredness. That's going to be tricky. That really, really can be very, very tricky. What you don't want to start doing is putting your child in the car or rocking them to sleep or nursing them to sleep or whatever it is that you're doing that you could do that you would know would get them down to sleep really quickly. Don't do that instead of the nap. So let's say your child would normally nap at 12:30. You had 2 days, they have not napped at all, and you've got them out of bed at 1:30. By 4 o'clock, they're falling asleep and it's just pretty miserable. What you don't want to do is then at 12:30, when you would normally be trying to get them down for a nap, to be then just popping them in the car or rocking them down to sleep. You still want to have that designated time, which is their time in their bed for them to sleep. If you then have an emergency nap a little bit later in the day, you certainly can. Now, an emergency nap, I use these often when we're starting with some sleep training. Naps may have been missed or anything. An emergency nap is just that, where we're just going for an emergency nap. So it may be that you're going to go out for a walk in the stroller at 3:30 because you know that at that point your child will fall asleep. And it just so happens that you were just going to run some errands and they just happen to fall asleep. Or you're going to go and run some errands in the car and you know then at that point that they will fall asleep. Now remember, this is much later than they would have normally fallen asleep. We do not want this nap to be long. This nap is just long enough to keep going until bedtime. So generally, when we're talking about an emergency nap later in the day, it's just like a cat nap. We're talking about 20 to 30 minutes. So you would then potentially wake them when you get back home. So you'd be out for that 20, 30 minutes. The idea is that you're doing that, you're putting them in the carrier, whatever, that you're doing that just for that duration. And you know that they'll nap then. And then when you get back home, get to where you're going, then they're up. You don't want that to be the long nap because, again, they're going to need those huge amount of hours to be awake after if they've got a long nap. And that means that you have an incredibly late bedtime. And we do not want incredibly late bedtime because, remember, they're probably already going to be resisting bedtime anyway. And then so after they've gone to bed at 10 and then they've resisted for an hour, you've got an 11 o'clock bedtime. Nobody needs an 18-month-old to be going down to bed at 11 o'clock. So just that nap, just that little emergency nap needs to be just long enough to keep them going till bedtime. Between 20 and 30 minutes is perfect. So though this regression does not actually last very long, if you handle it okay, if you don't handle it so well, you then find that you get stuck with these new habits. and then they can be tricky to get out of, because 18 months olds are very opinionated with what it is that they want and what it is that they don't want. So make sure that with this age that you are strict with things that are non-negotiable. You do want to be strict with those. You may find that you get through the regression and then your child seems to start pushing a little bit again. That's really, really normal. Really normal. And you'll notice this not just with sleep, but with everything. And it may be that they start throwing their toys around or pulling the dog's ears when they know that they shouldn't do that. They're just pushing to see if those boundaries are still there and to see if those rules are still there. So that's why you want to be consistent. Pulling the dog's ears is never okay. And that's why you want to be consistent. And it's the same with our bedtime. The bedtime, our bedtime rules, these are what they are, and they are always going to be this. We've got these things that we can negotiate on, but this is what these are our rules, regardless of whether you're 18 months, 19 months, or 20 months. These are the rules, because your child will begin to push against those boundaries just to check that they're still there. If they're still there, they stop really, really quickly. Because, okay, nope. The rule of climbing up the bookcase is still the same. And then you may notice a few weeks or a month later, they start trying it again. Nope, that rule is still there. So that's just the nature of children, and that's how they do things. So be strict. Being strict with your bedtime is really important. So the two-year sleep regression, there's a lot of things happening at this stage. We have an independent child who, thank goodness, is able to communicate a little more with us, which certainly makes things easier. We're not really at that point too much where we can reason. We're dealing with a two-year-old, that's heading a little bit more to 3 years old. But there's a lot happening at this stage. We may be moving to a bed. We may be moving to a bed because we have a new sibling who's going to be arriving. And so that in itself can be a regression right there. Moving to the bed, that can cause a regression. Potty training, again, that can cause a regression. And as well, just needing a little less sleep. That in itself, we're trying to continue to get the same amount of sleep that your child has been getting every single night, and they don't actually need that much. We can't force them to get that. So they may need a little bit less sleep. So any one of these things can cause a regression. If we've got a few things all happening together, that will make for a bigger regression. So I don't suggest that when you've just had a new baby that your 2-year-old is out of their crib. And then you decide to start potty training all in the same week. I'm not sure anybody would be that insane to even consider doing that. But we don't want to do it that way, because that's just too many big things happening all at once. Any one of those things would be enough to cause a sleep regression. The more things we have going on, the bigger that regression is going to be. So if we are going to be having a new sibling who's joining us, then you may want to, and they're going to want to be in the crib, that 2-3 months even before the baby arrives, that's when you would make the transition to the big bed, so that your child is completely out of the crib, that they've now got their own space. We don't want your child thinking that they were thrown out of something because this new baby came along and took it from them. So that'll give them plenty of time to adjust. The sibling, a new sibling arriving, again, is tricky. That this can cause big regressions. Now, one of the reasons that we do get a big regression is just that there is only one mom. There is only one other co-parent. And we may have then that a baby is taking a lot of the parent's time. And so this was time that the child had with the parents. And now there's somebody else coming along and is taking that time away. So whereas before you may have had, you know, all this time with your child, the bedtime routine, the getting up in the morning, the picking them up from preschool, hanging out with them during the day, is now we're going to have somebody else there doing that with them, taking up your time, needing to be held, needing to be fed, needing to be burped, needing to be put down to sleep, needing to be comforted. And that's taking that time away from your child. So what we can see with a regression is that your child is waking during the night and is using that time just to hang out with you. They don't care. Your child, your two-year-old does not care when they get to hang out with you. Obviously, you want to be sleeping at night. You have a baby as well, so you don't need to be up. So trying to sort of carve out those times during the day when you can get that quality time with your child is really, really important. So that quality time with your older child. So is that when the baby's napping, that you're then, rather than doing the laundry, that you are going to actually sit down and read some books with your child, or you're going to do some painting or something like that. You can do something like that when your baby is sleeping, so that you're doing this, having this quality time. Because really at this age, it is the quality, not the quantity, that they're really going to be really picking up on. So if you can do that at, and it doesn't have to be, you know, if your child is napping, your infant is napping for an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, it doesn't mean that you have to spend that whole 45 minutes or an hour solidly doing something with your child. It may be that we're going to have, okay, let's have 10 minutes where we're going to do this. Then I've got to quickly do the dishes. But then, which you can sort of have your two-year-old helping with, that's great quality time, is if you can get them involved. It will take you 10 times longer, obviously. But if you can get them involved, that's incorporating that quality time. And then at the end, then, okay, then we'll sit down and we'll have a snack together for another 10 minutes. So then that's really quality time then that you've spent there. So then your child is not going to be craving that time during the night. And you want to do that with you and with your partner, so that everybody is getting that time with the child and getting that quality time with the child. If you are a single parent, obviously this is trickier and you really want to be making time of nap times. And then when people do say to you, when you have a new baby, if there's anything I can do, just let me know. If you want me to come and babysit, they mean it. People really do mean it. And I think that we all kind of feel like, oh, you know, yeah, they're just kind of being polite and just saying that. They really do mean that. So if it means that, yes, could you just look after the baby for just 2 hours so that I can just spend some time with my older child? If you have a family member or a friend, obviously, who you trust, it doesn't mean that they need to go out with the baby. You can be there for feeding, but that can really, really help. And just getting that quality time with your two-year-old or three-year-old or 18-month-old can really lessen any regression that you get. But it's really hard to carve that time out. It really is. Potty training. Some people are starting this at 2 years old. Sometimes it is easier to start at 3 years old, simply because trying to get toddlers to actually slow down enough to sit down on the potty can be really tricky, and especially for boys. But at 3 years old, they begin to slow down a little bit. Toddlers do begin to slow down a little bit about 3 years old, which makes potty training a little bit easier at that time. But of course, that can certainly have an impact on your nighttime sleep. And the reason being is if your child has been using a diaper, and then they are obviously urinating during the night, but doing so into the diaper. When we then work on our daytime, if your child is a bit of a lighter sleeper, when they feel that need that they need to go, it can wake them and they need to get up and go during the night. And so this can mean that if your child is needing to pee every 3 hours during the night, that you're getting up and you're helping them every 3 hours during the night to use the bathroom. So that can be tricky. Even if you do have them in a diaper, it gets tricky for your child because you're encouraging them not to pee in the diaper during the day, but then at nighttime, it's suddenly fine and they may just refuse to do it. They may just refuse to do it. And sometimes children do. As children get older, and it's generally between 3 and 5 years old that they begin to produce a hormone which reduces the amount of pee that is produced whilst we're sleeping. And actually what happens is, as we sleep, this hormone is released, and it means that we just we reabsorb the liquid rather than turn it into urine. So this happens normally between 3 and 5 years old. And so with deeper sleepers, this may be why deeper sleepers will continue to wet and they may need to have a diaper. With lighter sleepers, chances are they're going to be up and needing to use the restroom. So this generally isn't as much of an issue once this hormone is being released, and then they can go longer during the night without needing to get up and use the restroom. But again, that's something to be mindful of. We don't know if your child is going to be waking or not during the night when you start potty training. But unfortunately, there's not really a huge amount that we can do about that. If they're refusing to go in the diaper and they're demanding that they go on the potty or on the toilet, then that's what we need to do. But obviously this isn't going to be for long. Just as when they begin to produce this hormone, they will not produce as much urine. We can be limiting the amount of drinks and things that they're having at the beginning of the night and just before going to bed. Needing less sleep is another big thing. Your child does need less sleep as they get older and older, and so that may be how you see as a regression is struggling to fall asleep or beginning to wake earlier in the morning because they just don't need as much sleep. So if you're noticing that they're struggling to fall asleep and beginning to wake earlier in the morning, they are needing less sleep. And what I would do is I would reduce down the nap a little bit. So if they were napping for 2 hours, you may going to reduce it down to 1 hour and 45 minutes. Give it a week and then see what that has done to your nighttime sleep. Are they having an easier time falling asleep and remaining asleep later? Or do you need to work on shifting it a little bit again? And this is the transition of completely dropping a nap. But it can take ages. It can take absolutely ages. But needing less sleep is very, very normal, really common. So those are our sleep regressions there. So the 4 month, 8, 9 month, 12 month, 18 month and 2 year sleep regressions. And after that, you've kind of made it. We don't have any other big regressions going on. We're always going to have teething up until about 2 years old. And we get those 2 year molars, which can be painful. With younger children as well, we do get growth spurts. And that is like a little regression because we have a lot more wake ups with a growth spurt. Remember, it doesn't just happen at nighttime. Growth spurts do happen 24 hours a day. So if you notice during the day that your child is wanting to be feeding so much more, that may then well happen at nighttime as well. And so we need to do that. It's really quite clever what they're doing. If you're nursing, what they are doing is they are trying to increase your supply. They're not actually going through the growth spurt yet, but what they're doing is they're upping your supply so that when they do go through the growth spurt, you have more milk. So we need to be having all these extra feeds to increase the supply. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily hungry, they're just increasing your supply. So those are our regressions. So let's talk about managing now. So we talked about the different ways that we can be doing with an 18-month-old who is wanting to be in charge at bedtime, with our 12-month-old and with our 8, 9-month-old who are practicing everything that it is to do. But there are other things that we can be doing with all of the regressions, whether it's the 4 month or the 18 month. There are things that we want to do. So remembering that the better sleep that we have before the regression, the less of an impact it will have on sleep. So if your child is waking 8 times a night, as they go through the regression, sleep will get more challenging. It always does. And so it may be that they will then wake 10, 12 times a night. If your child is waking once a night, 2 times a night, then as they go through the regression, then you may have more wake-ups. But if you get 2 more wake-ups, you're at 4 wake-ups rather than 12 wake-ups. So the better sleep that we have beforehand, the less of an impact it's going to have. Oftentimes as well, a regression looks like a big, long awake period during the night when nothing appears to be wrong. So we're not dealing with a cold or an illness or noticeable teething, but your child just seems to be awake. Sometimes children are quite happy just to hang out by themselves. Other times they are upset, but it's a big, long period, not just kind of 10 minutes. It may be an hour or more. And if we're getting that, we're looking at the age, we're looking at things that they're learning. Yes, that is certainly looking like a regression. So things that we can do, we want to be consistent with our routines, our daytime routine, our naptime routine, and our nighttime routine are all things that we want to be consistent with, because that consistency is actually helping your child. It's going to help them get back on track. So do keep your routines consistent. It's really going to help. As I say, when they're physically learning something new, make sure they get plenty of playtime in the crib or in their sleep space every single day, because that's really, really is going to help them. More than you think, I would go for that playtime 2 or 3 times a day. It's not necessarily duration, but just keep going for it. Playtime in the bedroom as well can be really, really helpful, really, really important. And then as we are helping your child through the regression, what we want to make sure is that we're not over helping your child through the regression. So if we're having more wake-ups, we don't want to instantly be going in and picking your child up and feeding them if that's not actually what they needed. They just needed you to know that you were there because they were going through a stage of separation anxiety. And so they just needed you to come in, just give them a little pat on the back, and then they went back to sleep. But what you've been doing is going in, picking them up, feeding them. What you're doing then is you're conditioning your child to need that feed, need that much extra help during the night. So what we want to do when we're managing a regression is to be going in and offering as little as help as we possibly can. So is it just your presence in the room? Was that all that was needed? Nope. If not, you go to the crib. Is your hands on? Is that what you need to do? Do you need to be patting or rubbing? Do you need to then be picking them up? Do you need to be rocking? So we're not instantly going in, picking them up and feeding them. We're actually giving your child the help that they actually need in order to settle and get back down to sleep. This gets tricky when we're noticing those longer wake-ups during the night, because you can be there for a while and you kind of get to that point where you're just like, I just need you to go back to sleep. I've been up for 2 hours. It's 3 a.m. I need you to go back to sleep. And so we sometimes do overhelp. Doesn't necessarily mean though that your child is going to get to sleep if they're in one of these big long wake periods. It doesn't necessarily mean they are going to be going to sleep. And so going in and giving your child just the help that they need is easy at the beginning of part of the night, easy before you've gone down to bed. It certainly does get trickier, excuse me, the longer that the night has gone on. So if you're there at 10, you can do this. Yes, I can go and give them in more help. When you're going in at 3 a.m., you've already been in 5 times. That is certainly harder to do. So, you know, your survival during this regression is also very important. So as long as you can do for part of the night, just giving your child the help that they need, if you're overhelping as the night goes on, that's completely fine. I wouldn't worry about too much about that. You kind of got to do what you got to do when you're in the midst of this regression. But giving that minimal help means that you're able to get back on track as quick as possible. And that's really what is key, is getting back on track as quick as possible. If you have constantly been overhelping, you're not going to know when your child is going to be able to do this again by themselves. It's really important that you're just giving that minimal help, just the help that you need to. Giving your child the opportunity to get themselves back to sleep the second that they wake does not mean that they need help that very instant. Gauge what's happening with that wake up. Are they just awake and hanging out? They're just awake and hanging out and not needing help. Do not go in and help, because you're not needed to go in and help. Even if they're awake for an hour or more, if they are not asking for help, do not go in and help. They are more than capable of getting your attention and getting you to go in if they are needing that help. So don't overhelp. Really don't. Really, really important. When you overhelp, that's when it's tricky to get back on track. And that may be then when you think, okay, actually, we've been going through this for a month. We are not going through this developmental stage anymore. At that point then, that's when you may think, okay, I've got to do some sleep training again. And obviously sleep training is hard when you're starting it for the first time or for the second time. It's tricky to do. It certainly is. So you want to make sure that you are just not getting to that stage where you have to do that again. Or if you are, you're just more working on getting back on track. And it's just more of a nudge in the right direction and a reminder, rather than having to start things up and break really, really big habits. So don't go and over help too much, because that way you're going to get back on track so much easier. And that is what we're all after, is more long-term goals of sleeping well rather than the short-term goals. Because if you know that, yep, I can go in and feed my child and I can feed them back to sleep and we're all back asleep really quickly, wouldn't you rather they were not having the wake up and they were sleeping a little easier? Just not having that wake up and you not needing to go in. So we really want to be making sure that we're not over helping when we can help it. Is it 3 a.m. after you've been up 4 or 5 times? Not necessarily the easiest thing to do. So another thing that we need to do is we need to just accept that sleep is going to be affected. It is. There's nothing we can do to speed up these regressions. The playtime can certainly help, but if there's other things going on, there really isn't a huge amount that we can do to speed up these regressions. They are going to happen. I do not have a magic wand that we can work to get through it and to just do this one thing and we're out the other side. It is going to happen. It is going to affect sleep. And just accepting that is really, really helpful rather than fighting it. Just accepting it that, yes, you are going to be tired. Your child is going to be tired. But there's nothing that we can do to speed this up. Once they've gone through that stage, then they'll get back to better sleep. And so get some help from your partner if you can. There's going to be helping with the nights, with the naps. Take shifts. I'm going to be on till midnight and then you're on from midnight on. Something like that so that everybody is getting a bigger chunk of sleep. At the weekends, make sure that you're getting a nap if you can. Take turns with your partner, have getting to sleep in at the weekends. You should be doing that anyway. But just getting as much sleep as you can and getting that support when you can. And then again, don't over help during the night, because that is just going to make things so much harder. It's going to take you so much longer to get back on track. So what next? You can head on over to the Facebook group if you're having issues with regressions and ask your questions there. Regressions are something that everybody has gone through. And though people are not going to have, well, this, you know, worked for us on getting out of it, people are going to be able to sympathize with you and maybe offer some little tidbits on just how you maybe can get some rest. So let us know when you're going through a sleep regression and what ones as well. Let us know what sleep regression that you found to be the hardest and how long that it lasted. It may actually be that the hardest one was actually a short one. It doesn't necessarily mean that duration of the sleep regression is really tricky. So do head on over to the Facebook group and let us know what regressions that you're going through, what's worked for you as well, and how long different regressions have lasted. It's really helpful to know from other families that you're not the only one who's struggling with this. Regressions are something that every child goes through. Every single child does go through. That we all come out the other side. We all do. And it is tough as we're going through it. Now, that's all the information that I have for you. I hope you learned a lot about when to expect those regressions, when we shouldn't be getting those regressions, what's happening developmentally through each of those regressions, and then best way that we can be getting back on track. These are tough, but we all get there. I'll see you in the next bundle.